Welcome to Communication Matters with Richard McEwen. Richard is an executive communications counselor, coach, and conference speaker with clients throughout the United States and internationally. Communication Matters deals with topics ranging from communicating through the news media, making business presentations, managing crises, and developing leadership presence. Learn more at richardmcewen.com or contact him at communicationmatters@richardmcewen.com. And McEwen is spelled M-C-K-E-O-W-N. Now, here's Richard.
Well, it's good to have you along for this edition of Communication Matters. And if you've been with me over the last three episodes, you know that I've been working through what I've identified as four fatal flaws of business presentations. Or to perhaps put it a little less gently, how to botch up an otherwise perfectly good presentation. And up to now, I've discussed the first three of those four flaws. And just to recap, those included, number one, making the presentation to yourself. Number two was not bothering to rehearse. And then the last time we talked about the third flaw, which is using every conceivable visual support item that's known to man and using them throughout the presentation. And if you're like me and you sat through your fair share of business presentations, you would probably agree that this last one regarding visuals seems to be a particular favorite of presenters. Not so much of audiences, but certainly of presenters. Now, if you're just jumping into this series, I would encourage you to go back and listen to those first three discussions of those first three flaws in just a little more detail. But this time, my focus is going to be on the last fatal flaw in this series, and I call this one heading to the locker room at the two-minute warning. Now, what in the world does that have to do with presentations, you ask? Well, what I'm talking about here is leaving a presentation unfinished because it doesn't have a well-crafted or a well-articulated closing, if there's even a closing at all. And without a doubt, an effective closing is the most overlooked and the most left out part of business presentations. And you know, unless a sports team is just way, way ahead in the game, they are probably not going to win if they choose to walk off the field before the game is even over. But in a sense, that's what a lot of presenters will do. They introduce a topic and they'll discuss it well enough, and then they just stop. They run out of information, and without any warning, without any summary, without any anything, everything just comes to a sudden halt. And you know, it's a bit like when a car comes to a sudden halt, it can give you a bit of a jar. Well, it's the same way with a business presentation that ends rather suddenly and unexpectedly. It's uncomfortable for the presenter, and it's sure uncomfortable for the audience. You know, when I work with clients in presentation coaching sessions, I generally ask them to come prepared to make a presentation that they've either given or one that perhaps they plan to give. And I'll have them make the presentation before I get into any coaching or counseling or feedback or anything like that. And I do this simply so I can see where they are and what our focus areas need to be moving forward inside that session. And you know, many, many times their closings, if there even is one, are kind of awkward and they're stilted, and you can tell that it's just kind of an afterthought. They hadn't really thought about how they're going to wrap things up until they actually get there in the presentation and realize, whoops, I left something out that's kind of important here. So the closing ends up being a little more than an awkward exit strategy, if you will. But the fact is, the closing of a presentation is one of its most important parts, if not its most important part. It's the time when a presenter should be addressing what I call the so what question. In fact, that's not a bad way to craft your close as you're preparing your information. Wrap it around that simple premise of so what. And if you do that, you don't have to say this in the presentation itself, of course, but as you're preparing your presentation, imagine that you are going to be asked a series of questions built around that simple premise of so what. Questions like, so what is your overall message here? So what are the impacts or the benefits and the ramifications and the downsides of what you're asking us to do? So what do you want us as the audience to do or to think or to say as a result of all of this? And when do you want us to do it? And one last question you will want to consider, it's a pretty simple one, but it's one you may well get, especially from a senior audience, and it's a good question. But you want to think about this before you actually get it in the presentation. And that last so what question is, so what if we didn't do anything? What if we just maintain the status quo? Let me tell you that in a lot of audiences, especially senior level groups, somebody in the audience is thinking about your information in that way. Not why we should do it, but why we shouldn't do it, or at least, what if we just didn't do anything? Would anything bad happen? So that simple question, so what, can be the basis of a very effective and actionable closing to your presentations. It makes sure that you have what I call close the loop, so to speak, on the information that you've outlined in the body of your remarks. So there you have something to wrap the content of your closing around. Let me turn my attention for a few minutes to what a presenter should be doing and not doing as they deliver the closing of their presentations. Again, one of its most important aspects. And there's a few things I want to mention here. First is deliver your closing comments extemporaneously. To as great as an extent as possible, deliver them without notes. This is not to suggest that you deliver closing comments spontaneously. And of course, the difference between extemporaneous and spontaneous is what? Well, of course, with extemporaneous speaking, you know what you're going to say pretty much before you say it. And if you're delivering spontaneously, you're pretty much coming up with what you're saying on the fly. And that's not good, especially as you're wrapping things up in a presentation and asking an audience to do something. So if you've been using notes in the main part of your presentation, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, you'll want to do all you can to deliver the closing without notes so that you convey the feel of, okay, folks, this is what this all really boils down to. Now, you don't have to say those words exactly, of course, but that's the impression you want the audience to get as you wrap it up. It makes you more conversational as you drive home those key points. You might even want to step towards the audience just a bit, or in situations where you've been tied to a podium for whatever reason, at least step out to the side of it. Secondly, in the close, I generally advocate that presenters do not use visuals. Why? Well, if the closing is the time when you're wrapping things up and putting all that you have said in context for the audience and issuing a call to action, you're going to want to have the audience's full attention. And you can't really have that if you are competing, so to speak, for their attention visually. So let's say you've been using slides in your presentation. Close it with a place setter slide or an abstract slide, or just go dark on the screen so that audience members are prompted to come back to you visually. Now, if you apply that first point of stepping out toward the audience a bit, at the point that the slides come down or go dark or whatever, you will be communicating that you're at the wrap up when the audience attention is particularly important. And the third thing I would mention as you finish your closing, I want to make a smooth segue into the Q&A and the discussion period. And let me make a comment here, and this is a personal observation, but it's generally a recommendation that I make, and I'm making it here today for anybody that's tuning in. When you introduce the Q&A of your presentations, avoid saying the words, "Any questions?" And for goodness sakes, don't put the words, "Any questions?" or some silly clip art up on the screen. And you know the one I'm talking about, that famous stick figure man that's kind of scratching his head and there's a symbol of a question mark or the words "any questions" underneath him. You know, "any questions" invites someone to just say no. And that can be just a little bit uncomfortable for both the presenter and the audience. I mean, where do you go with that, right? Then you got to figure out how I'm going to get out of this. And beyond that, using the words "any questions" sounds a bit like the insurance salesman who closes his pitch with, "You wouldn't want to buy any life insurance, would you?" Well, he's not going to be very effective if that's how he chooses to close his pitch. And you know, beyond that, using the words "any questions" can be interpreted by some audiences, you really don't want any questions. So what's the better course? Let me suggest that you say something like this. "Now, I'd like to open the floor to a discussion of what I've talked about, especially particular points of interest that you have and the questions that you may have. So with that, let me just open it up." That kind of approach makes it appear that you are interested in a dialogue, and you know it sounds like you are too. Now, I mentioned earlier that the closing of a presentation is one of its most important components, and that's true. But it's often left out of the planning process, and for better or worse, the closing often defines the impact and the effectiveness of the presentation, and to a degree, the credibility of the presenter. Now, the approach and techniques I've discussed today will help make sure that you not only finish the game, but finish it in winning form and fashion. So there we have it. Four fatal flaws of business presentations. Flaws that can botch up a perfectly good presentation. And here they are just one last time. Number one, making the presentation to yourself. Number two, not bothering to rehearse. Number three, using every conceivable visual support item that's known to man and using them throughout the presentation. And then the fourth one we've talked about here today, heading to the locker room at the 2-minute warning. Now, let me remind everyone again that these are flaws. These are not recommendations, all right? They are to be avoided if your objective is to succeed and not to die on stage. And let me mention, too, that the objective of Communication Matters is to discuss practical skills that will help you communicate successfully in the workplace. That said, if there are particular communications-related topics that you would like to hear discussed in a future podcast, send them to me in an email at communicationmatters@richardmcewen.com. That's communicationmatters@richardmcewen.com. And that puts a wrap on things this time. I want to thank you for joining me and invite you to tune in again next time for another installment of Communication Matters. And until then, this is Richard McEwen.
This has been Communication Matters with Richard McEwen. If there's a topic you would like Richard to address in an upcoming podcast, he wants to hear from you. Email Richard at communicationmatters@richardmcewen.com and follow him on Twitter at @RKMcEwen. And be sure to visit richardmcewen.com. Communication Matters is a production of Richard McEwen, all rights reserved.